Some of you know that my favorite month out of the whole year of the 12 is the month of June. And there's lots of reasons for that. But most of all, because in the life of the church in this month of June, we celebrate some really awesome solemnities. The highest of all the celebrations in the life of the church. Even though they're not all holy days of obligation, there's still the highest level called the solemnity. And there are seven solemnities this month, all five Sundays, and there's two this week. We have the beautiful solemnity on Tuesday of the birth of John the Baptist, and that beautiful solemnity on Friday of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, and I talk about that in my column in the bulletin. But it wouldn't shock you, I suppose, to tell you that my favorite of all the seven solemnities this month of June is today's solemnity. It is so dear to my priestly heart, this solemnity of Corpus Christi, the solemnity of the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a gift Jesus gives to us. What a gift. Jesus promises, I will be with you always. Always. No matter what. And Jesus, being God, found a way for him to be with us always. He found a way to change bread and wine through his divine power into his body, blood, soul, and divinity. Jesus doesn't stay with us by giving us a photograph of himself, a picture of himself, a symbol of himself, a representation of himself. Jesus, being the ultimate lover, chooses a way that he himself really and truly can be with us, body, blood, soul, and divinity. It still amazes me in my old age, and perhaps I'm just still innocent and naive, maybe it's because I'm a doubting Thomas, I still have a hard time believing when I hear people say to me, well, Father, not all Catholics believe that. And I'm like, what? You gotta be kidding me. What do you mean not all Catholics believe that at the consecration of the Mass, when I say the words, when any validly ordained Roman Catholic priest says the words, this is my body, this is my blood over the bread and wine, that they really and truly change into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus? You mean not everybody believes that? I said, you got to be kidding. I mean, it's right here in the Bible. So what I thought that we would do on this Corpus Christi Sunday is something a little bit different. I thought we would take a look at what the Bible says and how Jesus gives us this beautiful teaching. So if you have your Bibles here this morning, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 6. Oh, I see. Well, follow along with me anyway. I'm going to talk right from the Bible. I don't have any notes. Right from the Bible, John chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse 51, which is where today's gospel that Holy Mother Church chose for us started. John chapter 6, verse 51. Jesus says, "The bread I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Is my flesh, not represents my flesh, not is a symbol of my flesh, is my flesh for the life of the world. Verse 52, you can see that the Jews are kind of puzzled by this, because in verse 52 it says they start quarreling among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? You can just imagine what they might be saying. Is, what do you mean by is exactly? Do you mean is, or do you mean is a symbol of my body, a symbol of my flesh and blood, a representation of my, what do you mean by is? What are you going to do? I mean, seriously, Jesus, are you going to take a fillet knife and kind of fillet off a little piece of your side arm here and give it to us? I mean, you can just see the Jews quarreling among themselves, laughing, going, ha, oh yeah, that's a good one. You're going to give us your flesh to eat, just kind of fillet off a piece. I mean, what is this all about? In verse 53, Jesus says, amen, amen, I say to you, I'm only talking symbolically. Amen, amen, I say to you, I'm only talking metaphorically. Amen, amen, I say to you, guys, you take me so literally. Is that what your Bible says? That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says, Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you." Whoa. He continues, verse 54, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food." It really is food for you. "And my blood is true, real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me." Over and over and over again, he underscores his point. He's a good teacher. He's kind of like the way that I preach. I repeat and repeat and repeat, and you say, "Oh my goodness, why are you repeating so much?" Because Jesus does. Jesus says, okay, they're not getting this, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to emphasize and underscore my point again and again and again, verse after verse. It's really my flesh, it's really my blood, and you really, literally have to eat it and drink it if you want life within you. Now, my Bible, I don't know what your Bibles say this morning, but my Bible has a kind of a fun little footnote over here to those verses, chapter 6, verses 54 to 58. And Jesus, to underscore his point, he changes the verb to eat. He changes the verb to eat to the Greek word trogion. Now, you don't have to remember that for the quiz after Mass, but I do want you to remember what trogion means. He changes the verb from the ordinary verb to eat, and our translation doesn't quite capture that. He changes it to that verb trogion, which means, my Bible says, to munch, to gnaw, to chew. Wow. Jesus is really getting his point across here. He says you really have to chomp, chew, gnaw on my flesh if you want to have life. And this point, this very graphic point where Jesus says, no, let me say it to you this way, you must gnaw, chomp, munch, chew on my flesh. I can tell you they get it. They get it because look what happens in verse 60. It says, "Then many of his disciples who were listening said, 'This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?'" Wow. They got it. They got it. They go, "Oh my goodness, you're not talking symbolically, metaphorically, or as some little representation. You really literally mean chomp and eat your flesh and drink your blood? This is difficult. This is difficult." Boy, I can tell you, if I had a dollar for every time somebody said that to me in the past 17 years of priesthood, we'd be out of parish debt. "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" I have a priest friend that has on his desk, instead of his name on his desk, he has John 6, verse 60. Nobody knows what it means, but if they were to look it up, it would say, "This teaching is difficult. Who could accept it?" A lot of times the teachings of Jesus are difficult. They're not easy teachings. But he always promises to be with us. He always promises to give us his grace in the sacraments to help us so that we will not be discouraged. But many times his teachings are difficult to grasp at first. They're tough. "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" Verse 61, Jesus knew, because he's God, what they were murmuring about this. He said, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before?" Now that would be shocking. "Does this shock you? Really? Seriously? Do you think," Jesus says, "I created the whole universe out of nothing? Don't you think that I can create something out of something already existing?" Seriously. Jesus created the whole universe out of nothing. Don't you think he can take something that's existing, like bread and wine, and change it into his body and blood? Really? And if you can't believe that, how are you going to believe my resurrection? Now that is going to test your faith. If you can't believe that I can change bread and wine into my body and blood, will you be able to really believe that I can rise from the dead? Will you believe that I can ascend on my own power to the right hand of the Father? Now that will be shocking, Jesus says. Stay tuned. This is just the beginning. Verse 63, it is the Spirit that gives life while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe. Jesus says the words that I speak are spirit and life. They're the truth. I'm asking you to believe it, even though I know that there will be some that won't believe it. Some people have told me before that in this verse 63 that Jesus has cleared it up, that Jesus says he's speaking spiritually, which to them means metaphorically or symbolically, but those things aren't mutually exclusive, right? He's definitely speaking spiritually, but he's speaking literally too. Did Jesus rise from the dead literally? Absolutely. Is that a spiritual reality? Oh, absolutely. It's spiritual and literal. It doesn't mean that it's metaphorical or analogous or symbolic. Jesus is speaking the truth here. And if, by the way, if Jesus cleared it up so nicely here in verse, there it is, in verse 63, I'd like to ask you why down in verse 66 do people leave? Take a look in your Bibles at verse 66 of chapter 6. To me, it's one of the saddest lines in the Bible. As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Wow. Isn't that sad? Many. Muchos. Multis. Multi. A lot. A lot. Muchos, many disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. They got it. They knew that we are to literally eat his flesh and literally drink his blood. And they said, woohoo, crazy, lunatic, I'm out of here. And they left. They said, no more. It is not by accident that that is verse 66 of chapter 6. Verse 6, 6, 6. Which you know the book of Revelation says is the number for Satan. 666. At that verse, 666, Satan has weaseled his way in there to cause doubt in the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, and many, a lot of people take off and say, I'm done with Jesus. Sad, isn't it? In verse 67, Jesus then said to them, wait, stop, come back, April Fools. Joke, it was just a joke. I was only talking symbolically. I was only talking metaphorically. Come back, come back. Is that what your Bible says? My Bible doesn't say that. My Bible says in verse 67, Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to leave? There is a swallowing moment. He says, do you want to leave too? This isn't a joke. This isn't an April Fool's Day joke. I speak the truth. You must literally eat my flesh and drink my blood if you want me to remain in you. There's the door. You want to leave? Now's your chance. Wow. Verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. Wow. What an act of faith. St. Peter the Pope, stick with the Pope, he knows. St. Peter the Pope, speaking as he always does in sacred scripture on behalf of the College of the 12 Apostles, says, where else can we go if we want life? You're it. You're the way. You're the truth. You're the life. You're the Son of God. You speak the truth all the time. And if you tell us to munch and gnaw on your flesh, we're going to do it. If you tell us to drink your blood, we're going to do it. Because you have said so. You're the truth. You're the Son of God. What an act of faith St. Peter makes in the words of Jesus about the Most Holy Eucharist. And this Corpus Christi Sunday, Holy Mother Church has this feast precisely so that we can make a bold profession of faith. So I encourage you, with St. Peter the Pope, with the College of the 12 Apostles, here in verse 68, make an amen. And I believe, truly it is, Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity. Make an act of faith that what Jesus tells us about the Eucharist is absolutely true. Where else could we go? Where else could we go but the church that Jesus established? Where else could we go but the church that is the guardian, the protector of his sacred body and blood? We say with St. Peter, where else could we go? We believe that you have the words of eternal life. We believe, we are absolutely convinced, Jesus, that you are indeed the Holy One of God.